views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, a podcast focused on helping you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life that you've come here to live. On my last two shows, I shared some of my deeper, often more hidden thoughts about living an awakened and therefore more vibrant and powerful life. I know some of the things I'm sharing are a little bit out there for some of you, but it seems to me that we need to start talking about these things more, which is probably why I felt so drawn to connect with Transformation Talk Radio, because they get this and a lot of their shows are totally willing to go there. You can't plant seeds if you don't ever take them out of their package. This is the thought that kept rolling around in my head when I decided to do this show, and so I'm letting that idea guide me. So today, I'm going to share a bit more on this topic of awakening and give you a three-step process of how you can reconnect with your secret power. First, though, I feel that I need to address the question of why awaken now, so that if you're uncomfortable with the idea of rocking the boat, you might understand why it's important that we all do our part anyway. Now, just for the record, I would never have described myself as a boat rocker when I was younger. My personality is the peaceful, amiable. And to top it off, I'm also a Libra. So I'm all about harmony and helping people get along. And yet here I am, as Shirley MacLaine would say, out on a limb, sharing information and guidance to help people wake up and start gently rocking. So where is our world at right now? Well, you likely heard about the shift in 2012 when the Mayan calendar ended and nobody seemed to know for sure why. A movie was made about it being the end of the world and all kinds of theories were put out there about why this was happening. And I mean everything from the Mayans simply feeling that the calendar had to end somewhere to a possible zombie apocalypse. What I really tuned into, though, was people like Greg Braden. He was talking about the amazing energies occurring at this time and suggested that we were at a sort of tipping point where people can either wake up and start to remember their real reason for being, or they can allow their ego and the density, which is like the heavy energy around us, to keep them disconnected and head into a very dark age. Well, December 2012 came and went, and while it wasn't a big deal in the news, amazing things did happen. People started waking up. Women especially started stepping out of the shadows and refusing to settle for a mediocre life. If you doubt this, do some searches on books, TED Talks. Look up things like Reclaiming the Feminine. Look for summits, retreats, healings, and so on. Now, not all of these women released their works or started their programs after 2012, but the number of women that were suddenly interested in this work and really feeling pulled to change things in their life rose substantially at this time. Now, I myself had experienced a pretty intense accident in 2010, And so for the next 2 years, I found that I was opening up and receiving information like I never had before. In November of 2012, I released my book, Standing in Your Power, which was based on the blogs that I had written while I was healing from this accident. I couldn't drive, I had major concussion and whiplash, and I really couldn't work for very long periods of time. But I was writing these blogs, and many of them were on topics that I had never even looked at before. Now, my sources tell me that this time span, 2010 to 2014-ish, was thought of as the awakening of the light workers. These are people who agreed to help guide others in this lifetime to awaken and live their passion. Some of these people were awakened through major health scares, and others through accidents, and still others through miraculous moments where they actually like had a visit from an angel, which is so cool. Many started to feel an intense unhappiness with their current life situation, especially work, but also in relationships. And the work part resulted in thousands, maybe even more, leaving their jobs to pursue a life in a totally different venue, like entrepreneurship. This was a big surprise to them and their loved ones because they had worked so hard and achieved success in a male-dominated work environment, only to now completely shift gears. Going back to Greg Braden's comment that humans have reached a tipping point, I remember a couple of years ago, I tuned into a summit with guests who channeled some very strong entities. It was the start of the year, probably 2013, and although they weren't doing predictions, they were sharing information about where we were headed if things did not change. One of the women was said to channel Mother Gaia herself, which is known to us as Mother Earth. And while I'm not very familiar with this channeler, the words that she shared definitely struck a chord with me. Now, before I tell you what she said, let me take a moment and address the idea of a person channeling an energy from another dimension. For many of you, this will not be a new topic. But if you are unfamiliar with this idea, then I recognize that it could be hard to accept without some sort of explanation. So when I say the word channel, if you're not familiar, it's very possible that your only experience of this is with watching television or movies where the person seems to be momentarily possessed and their voice changes, their eyes roll back, and when all is said and done, they don't have any memory of what happened. This has not been my experience with channelers at all. The channelers I'm familiar with tend to hear messages. Some feel a strong urge to write, draw, or paint, while others feel a certain knowing or kind of see the message in pictures. I actually saw a medium just last year who could even smell and taste certain things when messages came through. In every case, they don't have to consciously think about what to say. In fact, if they did, they would probably block the message. So they're still fully aware. Kind of like the third person in a conversation where the other two are doing all the talking, but they're the silent one standing there. For example, if you're familiar with Esther Hicks, who channels an entity called Abraham and markets her sessions as Abraham Hicks, she's well worth looking up if you've never heard of her or if you're brand new to the idea of channeling. It sounds like Esther talking when she channels Abraham. She does have a certain tone of voice, a way of speaking and choice of words that is consistently there when she channels Abraham, but she, Esther, is still present and listening, interpreting the whole time she's sharing the information. Because she's been doing this a long time and she does it so often, I'm sure Abraham is with her more than not, but she could still at any time tell Abraham to go and it would have to listen. In other words, while Esther is allowing these words to flow through her, she is still in charge of what she allows to flow. Now, thankfully, she trusts Abraham, and you can tell by the amazing things that come out of her mouth, especially at the speed they come out of her mouth, that she does not censor, she doesn't make things up or hold things back. This is my common experience with channelers. Often, their voice changes slightly, and lately I've actually heard some who channel many different entities, and so they might sound unique for each entity. that they're channeling. Sometimes they talk in a totally foreign language. That one kind of blew me away. Or commonly, they will talk in very clipped words because there is no small talk when you're channeling someone. Some of them go into this channeling state and then they don't come out until the conversation's over, like when they're doing an interview. But others will jump back and forth between the entity that they're channeling and themselves, and they simply introduce themselves each time so you know who it is that's talking. In every case, though, they are aware and involved in sharing the information. Now, in case you're thinking, well, this provides a channeler with too much leeway to deceive, I'd like you to think about what's happening when you read a nonfiction book. Although research and references might provide some proof of truth, we all know that data can be massaged, misinterpreted, and even misunderstood. So when you read a nonfiction book, you are simply trusting that the author is being honest and sharing what they believe to be true in that moment in time. For example, if you've read Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Big Magic, one of the things she talks about is about ideas bouncing around out there in the ether, looking for someone to connect with. She believes that if they choose you, you'll be struck with this great idea. And if you don't act on it, the idea may choose to shoot off and find another host. And suddenly someone else will come up with your idea. Now, she has no proof of this, but she gives a very convincing argument as to why we should believe her. Because Liz awakened a curiosity and built trust with a lot of us in her previous works like Eat, Pray, Love, we're willing to read these much bigger, wilder thoughts and suspend our need for proof. This is not that different from listening to a channeler speak, except that they are speaking what comes through them and trusting that it will make some sort of sense the first time around, whereas an author actually has more time and usually an editor to help them ensure that their words at least read well. If you're struggling with the idea of this information coming through a channeler, try to let that go and just hear the words, as if they're from a book, a speaker, or a documentary, or some other source of information that you're willing to hear, if not trust. Okay, so back to Mother Gaia. In a nutshell, what I heard her say was that humans cannot ruin the Earth. Nothing is happening that wasn't agreed to in the beginning. But, and this is a really big but, they can ruin it for themselves. When the Earth can no longer sustain the damage humans inflict, she will shut down and go inwards to repair herself, just like we do when we really need to heal. People would be wiped out because the Earth cannot sustain life when she's doing major healing herself. It could take many, many years for her to rejuvenate. I mean hundreds, maybe thousands. But that's nothing for a non-linear energy like Gaia herself. It only matters to those who live in linear time, like us humans. The channeler ended by saying that humans would benefit by waking up and realizing that when they damage the Earth, they damage themselves, as all is connected and a healthy connection is both very possible and impossible, depending on our own evolution. Now, whether these words were ideas being presented by the channeler herself, or I was actually listening to Mother Gaia coming through this connection, I could feel the resonance of what she was saying right down to my toes, and it scared the bejesus out of me. Because we truly need the Earth to survive, and yet we continue to abuse her in so many ways. And this is just one aspect of life. Never mind the human relationships with each other, the wars, the acts of terror, the hate crimes, so many things that are going on right now. So in sum, this is where we are at, a tipping point. And I'm talking about it, and you're listening because these energies are pushing us all to awaken. So how do we do that? How do we reconnect with our secret power Carrie Samuels, who's one of my absolute favorite psychics. She's also a numerologist, among other things. She says, as you exercise your right of free will, with every choice, you either bring yourself further from your true divine nature or closer to the truth of who you are. Awakening is quite simply when you move in the direction of your truth. Some of you might be thinking this movement involves a huge deal, like a ritual or an initiation that will awaken you from a deep sleep and create instant major changes in your life. That might be what it feels like for people who have a near-death experience and it changes them forever, or who live through a major trauma and they find that nothing looks the same in their life after that. But that's really not what we're doing here. Those things are kind of like taking a person to the edge of a chasm, you know, a cliff where you can see the other side and saying, jump, I promise you're going to be okay. When you have no choice because you've just choked on a piece of food and the light is coming at you, you might be willing to jump, but in our everyday typical life, we need something a little easier to traverse. So instead, we're going to take the switchback. For the non-hikers in the group, that's the trail that heads back and forth up or down the side of the mountain. It is the long way, but it also feels a lot safer and it gives you time to process. Now, if you find this trail is just too easy and you're ready to accelerate or intensify the process, send me an email and we'll discuss a more intensive journey where you can control the pace, but we can move a lot faster. To finish off today, I'm going to share a brief overview of one big idea that is affected by everything you do in your life. It is your secret power. I've spoken on it before a while back, but it's worth talking about more than once and in different ways. The idea I'm talking about is raising your vibrational energy, or at least becoming aware of it. Everything in life is energy, including us. There is lower level energy and higher level energy, and you have a fair amount of influence over the frequency that you are putting out. When you practice compassion, seek to understand someone else, put your higher self in charge, allow yourself to dream, believe in the goodness of yourself and others, practice gratitude, and so on, you raise your vibrational energy. When you criticize, blame, demean, give the cold shoulder, focus on the negatives, stuff your feelings, judge others, see only badness, strike out at others, and so on, you lower your vibrational energy. The energy you put out into the environment draws things back to you of the same basic frequency. Like attracts like. So if your vibrational energy is low because you're having a really crappy day, you'll likely notice that even more crap starts coming your way. Abraham Hicks likens this to a radio frequency. She says, even when wonderful music is out there, if you aren't tuned into that station, you will not hear it. That means the higher energy that you sent out just that morning before everything went bad, even though it might be bringing higher energy things back to you, you've now changed the station, and so you can't even hear it. This is the number one reason people think that the law of attraction doesn't work. Now, please understand, no one is saying that you must always be happy, chipper, positive. That's not realistic. Remember, it is the major challenges in our life that help us grow the most, and that means that life will be difficult at times. But the more aware you are of how you react to things, where you are adding to any negativity by responding with your ego, you know, blaming, shaming, framing, or holding on to hurt, anger, frustration, or even how you're feeding negativity with your thoughts, or maybe you're trying to save somebody else to change how they behave and look after themselves. The more aware you become of these things, the more able you will be to lighten up, to let go, to search for the good, and or practice those things that help to make you feel better. So notice your thoughts, your actions towards others, your self-care practices, and even your ego-driven moments. They influence how heavy or how light you feel. You'll find that feelings like relief, curiosity, acceptance, gratitude, these are all raising points when you get stuck in lower energies. So for example, if you're feeling frustrated because you're stuck in traffic, instead of focusing on the fact that you're going to be late and feeding the fire, you know, with thoughts like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm late again. I should have gone the other way. I should have left earlier. You know how we like to should on ourselves? Or, you know, maybe you start thinking, oh, my boss is going to be mad at me. He's such a jerk. And you start thinking negative thoughts about him. Instead of doing this, which brings you down and brings your energy level down, do some things that help you to feel better, like maybe deep breathing. It's as simple as that. Breathe in, breathe out. Focus on the relief that it brings as it releases some of your tension. Notice the tension in your shoulder and jaws. Breathe it out. You see, here's the truth. It doesn't matter what you're thinking in that moment. It's not going to speed you up and get you there any faster. All it's going to do is influence how you feel and the level that you're vibrating at. Another little tip or trick that I like to use is singing or humming. It can be to a song on the radio, but it can also just be singing or humming something. This has a really interesting way of shifting you out of your mind and out of your negativity and into a state of relief, which is part of what you're trying to do. So these are really great things to be aware of, but don't just stop there. You also want to notice the good times. Notice when you're having fun, you're feeling great, you're in a good space, things are going your way, and take it a step further. If you're not a very compassionate person normally, focus on being more compassionate. If you notice yourself accidentally judging somebody, immediately pull back and give them the benefit of the doubt. Stop that train of thought. Feel grateful. Trust. Know that everything is exactly as it should be. When you do these things, when you go into these feelings, you will raise to your highest possible frequency at that moment. And ultimately, that's where you want to spend most of your time. Because the more time you spend at that higher frequency, the more you will raise the limit of how high you can go. Now, for those who like sequences, here's the three steps. All right. Step number one, notice where your vibrational energy is at in any given moment. So assign it a number where one is really low and 10 is super high, and then become aware of what makes it fluctuate. So for example, if you're feeling filled with gratitude, you feel full of love, you feel super compassionate towards yourself and others, you feel like you're being looked after no matter what, you're probably at an 8, 9, or 10. If you're feeling angry, impatient, irritated, annoyed, if you're judging others, if you're finding it hard to smile and you feel like, you know, you just want to snap everybody's head off, you're likely under a 5, probably 2 or 3. So when you start to become aware of where you are most times, first of all, that awareness is what will help you to change things, because that's where it all starts, is by becoming aware. All right. And when you start to do this, now you can start to recognize what your patterns are. Step two, seek out skills, strategies, and practices that will help you to raise your energy on a regular basis, especially when things are happening to bring you down. Now, I always tell people, shoot for the absolute simplest, because simple is good. Simple doesn't always mean easy, but it does mean that it's attainable. So breathing techniques, if you haven't learned the oxytocin breath, learn the oxytocin breath. It's in my stress booklet on my website, so you can get it from there, but you could probably even Google it. It might be out there. Mine certainly is. You can focus on moving, because movement is a wonderful way to get stagnant energy moving and can pick you up. Look at pictures of things that you really love, like puppies or kittens, you know, things that make you smile. If you hate puppies or kittens, don't look at those. Look at pictures of landscapes or whatever it is that makes you smile and feel good inside. Go outside for a moment. Stretch. These kinds of things are simple little skills that can really help you to change how you're feeling. Even a little shift in your posture, putting your shoulders up taller, feeling like a string is pulling the top of your head, can change how you're feeling and affect your vibrational energy. Step number three, become aware of how things outside of you influence your vibrational energy. And then notice if maybe you need to avoid certain people. Maybe you have people you call friends, but every time you go out with them, they kind of bring you down. So maybe you don't want to hang out with them anymore. Maybe you want to find new friends. Or if you're not willing to give them up, maybe you want to talk to them about it. Say, hey guys, why are we so negative all the time? I'm wondering if maybe we can try to boost each other up instead of always being so sarcastic. You can do these kinds of things. If they're true friends, they'll stick around. And if they're not, well, you're going to cut them loose anyway. So noticing that, even the news, cutting the news out of your life might be exactly what you need. All right, so notice what brings you up. Bring more of that into your life. Notice what pulls you down. Get that out of your life as best you can. In the meantime, continue listening to my show because everything I talk about is geared at helping you raise your vibrational energy and live your life on purpose. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com. Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.